On this 31st Sunday, we have the readings about the last times. Apocalyptic events, the word apocalypse, or sometimes the last book of the Bible called Revelation, is called the Apocalypse, is Greek for unveiling. It will all be made known. Our Lord, in his remarks here to the apostles, is referring to two things. One is the destruction of Israel with regards to the temple, and second, that's the end times when he finally comes. So the two texts are somehow merged together, which means it's very difficult to piece them apart and to sort out what our Lord is referring to with regards chronological order. The events that will come to pass or the five signs before his return are in Scripture. And I recall last year giving this homily, and I'll just quickly state the five signs. The five according to Scripture are that the Jews will be converted, they'll accept Christ as the Messiah. Secondly, the gospel has to be preached to all corners of the world. We're much closer to that than 100 years ago. Thirdly, there will be mass apostasy. People will reject the Christian faith. Fourthly, there will be unheard of, unprecedented natural calamities, earthquakes, famines, plagues, and so forth. And lastly, it will be the reign of the Antichrist. A great humanitarian, great in the worldly sense, will dominate the world instead of Christ. And then Christ will return at some stage. It's all rather fascinating how it will come together. And there's been some marvellous novels written on these events. I'd encourage you to read Robert Benson's book, The Lord of the World. It's a classic, and it gives us some insight into what the mindset will be when those events come to pass. But we must be careful not to think it's going to happen next year. I remember, or perhaps we all remember, the year 1999, how many people sold up and moved out into the middle of Australia because a tsunami was going to wipe out the eastern side of Australia. Or perhaps, going back a bit earlier, people thought that Hitler was the Antichrist and the end of the world was imminent then, during the war. Of more recent times, I recall some people saying that Obama, President Obama, is the Antichrist. America having a black pope, he must be the one. So get ready, Christ is about to return. Well, we're living now in 2016, the year when Clinton was trumped, one might say, and we have a new era perhaps even in America. And look to the east, look to the east. Things are happening in the east that would not have been believed 20 years ago. So we're living in fascinating times, and the world could change rapidly as politics can change, and we've seen that recently. Governments can change, and with governments, policies, and with policies, morality. So let us not lose heart or think that, well, next year is the year and so forth, because there's always been people predicting the end times. That's why St. Paul wrote two letters to the church at Thessalonica. The Catholics there were believing that Christ was about to return, and they were not wanting to go to work. In fact, they just wanted to lie around, not literally, but just be idle, because Christ is about to turn up. So why bother going to work? Why bother planting a crop? Why bother making a tent to do so? Because it's all going to come to pass very soon. And he reminds them, no, we have to keep doing what we're meant to be doing. Live out our vocation, trust in God, and not be fearful or frightened. Because fear makes us pull back. It causes what we call a siege mentality. We withdraw from what we regard as an imminent evil. We put up a barricade and we provide provisions within, and we keep people without. That's not what Christ wants. A siege mentality has never been a policy of the church. I remember about 15 years ago visiting a family up in the mountains, and it was a very difficult trail to find them. Eventually, after three attempts, I did find them, and they had a nice house, all self-sufficient, and they were boasting about how they could survive nearly anything up there. Then they showed me the special pantry. dug into the ground. They had provisions there for years, years of food, or canned food, all types of things. And then, before I left, the candles were brought out, the wax candles, to enable them to cope in the days of darkness, the 3 days of darkness, which has never been a teaching of the church. But they believed that Christ was about to return, and they were safe. They were safe, and they would survive. And I said to them, okay, you look like you're well prepared, congratulations. She smiled and said, yep, I think we'll survive, Father. I said, well, if you survive and we all don't, what will you then do? In other words, how will you cope after the great, whatever happens, happens? You'll be on your own. In fact, you might not want to be here if you're the only ones here. Oh, well, we'll work it out, Father. It's okay. You're there, we're here, and we'll be okay. That's not quite what Christ wants us to do. A siege mentality cuts us off from the real world, from reality, the apostolate, and those in need. And sometimes the siege mentality is, if you come near me, I'll shoot you, as they do in America, if you start to threaten my livelihood. So we must be open to God's grace and His will in our life, and realize the greatest enemy is the enemy to our soul, and that which impedes our growth in grace. We don't know when the time will come. We don't know when our time will come. But we do know that God gives us each day, each week, each year, sufficient grace to do His will and to live out our vocation. And that's all that matters. And if we keep doing that, God will then enable us to carry on with our work and perhaps influence and affect the lives of those around us, rather than drawing backwards and pulling ourselves into a corner. So be mindful of those people that, and they help those people that you might know, perhaps who think the world is about to end, to encourage them to keep on doing what God wants them to do and not to be fearful of the future. Praise to Jesus Christ.